Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast and your Week in IndyCar listener Q&A show. This indeed is a special edition being done in reaction and at the kind request from a couple of long-standing listeners of the show. We're going to do a quick episode of sorts, all related to the Team Penske IndyCar push to pass penalty that was handed down for those of you who might not have caught it. And I would say I probably don't need to even waste time talking about it, because if you listen to this show, you are an IndyCar diehard and know what happened. But I had some folks say, hey, could you field some questions? And I said, of course. Got to get on a flight in the morning early tomorrow. Still have dinner to eat, a shower to take, and things to pack. So been on the phones with folks since 7 a.m. Between phones, texts, and inbound calls, outbound calls, you name it. I don't even know how many hours I've spent in communications, but I'm sure that's for everybody who's been reporting on this as well. So just a truly crazy day, but that's why we're doing a little show. Jerry Siddeth, our beloved friend who puts together the questions, has done just that. We'll try and go for about a half hour or so. And then, if my voice is still here, I'll say farewell and move on to other things. Before we do that, let's say a big thank you to our show partners who make all this possible. Time to say a big thank you to our show partners on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, starting with Pfaff Technologies, build-to-print composites manufacturing company. They're specializing in medium to large-scale automotive, motorsports, and military applications. Visit pfafftechnologies.com. It's P-F-A-F-F technologies.com to learn more about their services and how they can benefit your business. Next, it's the Justice Brothers, makers of premium additives, lubricants, and cleaners, and servicing the automotive and motorsports industries for more than 85 years, with victories in all the biggest North American motor races, including the Indianapolis 500, the 24 Hours of Daytona. The Justice Brothers products are truly race-proven. Learn about their vast history and range of offerings at justicebrothers.com. If you're fond of awesome motor racing collectibles, including Pfaff Motorsports McLaren gear and goodies, pay a visit to torontomotorsports.com. And finally, we have a new online merchandise home for the podcast, thepruittstore.com. All the show stickers, models, racing memorabilia I'm trying to sell and put towards our fund to buy a house is now live and rocking. thepruittstore.com. Derek Bartichek, you are kicking off the show. You say, so if this is a rule, then the drivers penalized had to be actively aware they were breaking the rules by pressing push to pass on restarts, correct? Incorrect, in theory. So this is a pretty interesting thread. I don't want to take too long on any of these questions, but there's footage to be found from many, many years of Joseph and some others, Joseph Newgarden and some other drivers, just like smacking away, hammering away at the push-to-pass buttons on their steering wheels on starts and restarts, times when they should not be active and able to be used. As I've been told by some drivers and others I spoke to said, no, don't do it, never done it, it's not my habit. But they're aware that there are some drivers, and Joseph is one who's been well known to do this, who at those times when it should be turned off, they're often seen hammering away at the push-to-pass button just in case IndyCar mistakenly activates it. Now, you say, well, wouldn't that then be illegal? If I had to apply a mindset here, I think it would be, it's not supposed to be turned on, but if by chance someone at IndyCar does, that's a decision they've made, even if it's an error, someone turned this thing on, I'd hate for it to be active for even if it's just 2 seconds and not be able to take advantage of that push to pass for 2 seconds. So as I'm told, that has been the approach, why you can find some video with drivers like almost look like they're drumming on the steering wheels on that push-to-pass button. Asking here, which is another thing a lot of folks have asked, how is this not discovered sooner? Says, wouldn't the live data during the race instantly show that They were actively using the button in their, quote, available time, the amount of time left to use for push to pass, reducing in conjunction with that. Yes. Yes to all the above. I can't get into many of the folks that I spoke with, where they're from, who they work for, their positions, but I can tell you this was not something that was discovered in St. Pete and sat on to try and protect or hide things from the public or other teams to somehow protect Team Penske. This, and I say this with full belief, this was indeed something that, as I wrote, was discovered Sunday morning during the warm-up session where IndyCar was having timing and scoring problems in race control, unable to turn on and activate push to pass for the warm-up sessions as they normally do for the first 10 minutes. And yet, indeed, they were able to see that the Team Penske cars were counting down on the push to pass counter, which both should not have been possible because the series hadn't turned it on, but also there's a signal that the series, in turning the system on, then tells the ECU to make push to pass function. So not only was it not turned on, but the actual signal that then goes out to the cars and through its communication system and gets to the ECU, that was never received by the ECU. So I realize these are related things. They didn't turn it on, but beyond that, not only did they not turn it on, the signal that would have perked up those ECUs to say, cool, push to pass, let's play, that signal was never sent, and yet the Penske cars were using push to pass. How could that be? Unless they had done something to send a signal, phantom signal, to the ECU to kind of spoof that regular signal to say, hey, turn on, when indeed there was nothing from IndyCar telling the ECU to turn on. So this was not discovered until they basically outed themselves during the session. Had teams been monitoring push to pass on starts and restarts at St. Pete and happened to notice through telemetry, through timing and scoring, Derek, yes, for sure, they should have been able to see this. Just say that since everybody knows it's not activated it's not turned on by IndyCar in those instances, I don't know if it's something that teams prior to this have made a habit of looking at. Do I think they absolutely will going forward this weekend starting for sure at Barber? Yes. So as for the time, the 150 to 200 seconds made available each road or street course through push to pass to get that power, I don't know if that's something Penske was able to modifier game. I had a number of questions about that too, and I just don't have an answer, and I don't want to speculate. Cade Fulling, you say, I'll make this quick. As a New Garden fan, what's the blame percentage here? 70-30 team to driver, more or less? I can't answer that because I don't know. I can only give you some examples that you might ponder. I am aware that Team Penske had a gag order for the entire team. Tim Sindrick, Team Penske president, obviously was moved to the front. He's the one who issued the statement on behalf of the team in accepting the penalty and acknowledging that they did things they shouldn't. Whether everybody believes his explanation as to how or why it happened, I can tell you a heck a bunch of drivers, race engineers, data engineers, team owners, team managers, whatever, don't buy it. Does the fact that a large group of folks say that's false, does that mean it's false? No, it does not. Just sharing with you that, how's this? It might be easier to put it this way. I have yet to have a single person say to me, yeah, that makes sense. That's very, very plausible for how that happened. Nonetheless, we have no proof. to say exactly how it did or didn't happen, because nothing official has been provided by the series or the team. On the blame side, I can't give you a number. I can only tell you this. Coming back on that gag order, nobody, drivers included, were allowed to speak, post, do anything. Scott McLaughlin, at least as of 9 p.m. on a Wednesday night, and if I've missed something from the others, then I apologize, only Scott McLaughlin was allowed to post something. He was disqualified along with his teammate Joseph Newgarden. If you read what Scott wrote, saying, yes, I did this once, it was for 1.9 seconds, I've corroborated that as well independently, it would suggest that it was a mistake, an error, wasn't aware that it was done, possibly, but the fact that it was not seven times, three times, four times, the fact that it was a single time for a very brief amount of time and only that, you look for habits and patterns, right? And if you know that you have a unfair advantage and you think you can get away with using it, are you going to use it once in a fairly meaningless moment that doesn't gain you any positions? Or are you going to try and use it repeatedly, right? If you're going to cheat, go all the way. I've mentioned this before in the podcast. One of my favorite stories from when I was a young mechanic was shared with me by the senior mechanics who used to go out and party like mad each night, especially at our home races. I was young, and I eventually started doing that with them. But anyways, they told me about one moment where they were told to be in at like 7 in the morning, and for whatever race weekend, had to be in early, it was a big important thing. They went out the night before, tied one on, and were crazy hungover. Didn't wake up until like 8 or 8:30, and this is decades ago, before cell phones and all that. I'm sure our boss was calling, and they weren't answering. And they got up at, again, hour and a half after they were supposed to show up. And instead of being panicked, like, oh my God, we got to go, we're going to be in big trouble, they said, you know what? We're already really late. We're hungry. What does it matter if we're an hour and a half later, 2 hours later? Let's go get breakfast. Let's at least show up and have our bellies full and be happy while we get yelled at. And so they did. To me, that is a mindset to apply towards something like this. Hey, I know about this thing that I can exploit that's illegal. Well, why just do it once for 1.9 seconds and never do it again? If you're going to cheat, go all the way. Don't cheat once, right? Don't get pulled over for doing 1 mile an hour over the speed limit. Go 30, make it worth your while if you're going to pay a penalty. Same about getting drunk and missing your call time in the morning at the shop. Same here. So I just say, I can't tell you as a Newgarden fan how much blame Joseph deserves, but I can tell you his teammate, who received equal punishment with disqualification, felt compelled and was approved, and or just said, I'm not asking your approval, I'm going to post it anyways. However it happened, he's the one person that has reached out and spoken to the public and said, hey, acknowledge that this happened, wasn't aware, et cetera, but can't argue that this did happen, but this was not intentional, et cetera, et cetera. Use that as a guide, because it's the only thing I can use as a guide to try and figure out where the bad part comes in, since we know the other member of the team, Will Power, did not use it at all. Randy Maynard, you say, Buttongate, holy moly, it comes back to this for me. How do you sit there day after day knowing you won by cheating? Never made sense to me. I get that it's part of the game, just never liked it. Yeah, I'm with you. Never won an IndyCar race, finished second once or twice, I forget what. But yeah, at least to my knowledge, none of the teams that I worked for ever cheated at any point in time. It would feel dirty. But I can't, again, Joseph hasn't spoken. I Can't tell you what he did or didn't do, how much he did or didn't know. I know what a lot of other folks have told me and what they believe, but we need to hear from him to be able to say, you know what, okay, you did know, or not. John Wire says, will this affect New Garden's negotiations with potential teams now that he's a free agent? He also kind enough to say best wishes to you and your family. I was told last weekend that he is returning to Team Penske. This is one of those things where it's like, okay, I've been home for 3 days, jamming around, going crazy. I wish I just had more time, but I had the intent to send an email to Team Penske's IndyCar PR rep yesterday and say, hi, I've heard Joseph is returning. Can you please confirm? I think the email I ended up sending today after all this blew up, just because, look, I still got to send it and hope I get a response, basically said, I've heard he's returning. Can you please confirm that or correct that if that is inaccurate, and share any insight from a team perspective or from Mr. Cindric or from Mr. Newgarden? So just sharing that little bit. I can't tell you that that is a fact. Just the person who told me, they tend to know these. They would know. But not saying it's a fact. So waiting to hear back. Don't know if I will. Keeping in mind what they're having to deal with right now. But I did wonder the same exact thing. And again, I don't think if what I've heard is accurate, there's no negotiations going on with other teams. But if he has already signed with Penske, then again, in theory, that's great. Hopefully there's no clauses in there where anything negative could happen to him. If he has not signed a extension with the team, how might whatever this is and whatever he did, how might that affect those negotiations? Again, I don't know, but it certainly stood out to me today of like, talk about an inopportune time for such things to be going on. Chris Kalewick says, I find it interesting that Power knew not to use the button, but Newgarden and McLaughlin didn't. What does that say about them and their integrity as drivers? Or is it a simple mistake? Yeah, I haven't really known Joseph for a while, so I can't speak to him in character, right? The last time I knew Joseph was 5 years ago. And I don't mean we've never spoken since. I'm just saying in terms of frequent interactions to have a feel for who he is in today, 2024. Wasn't there, so I don't feel like I can vouch for anything, but I can tell you that I have had a pretty positive and I would say tight relationship with McLaughlin, and character-wise, integrity-wise, the fact that he pressed to speak and share and acknowledge, but also say, hey, you know, let if we're going to blame, cool, but let's blame, you know, with accuracy here. I look at him and just know, because again, I simply know him a lot better than Joseph. He's not a guy who I question in terms of integrity. This happened. It sucks. It casts a shadow over him and his name. I just didn't look at him, have never looked at him as someone who would knowingly dip into doing illegal things. As it's been expressed to me, and again, I'm having to tell you things that just because the hour and the time of the information coming in, I haven't been able to go and corroborate all this, but as it has been characterized to me, this wasn't a case of Power knowing that he had a hot wired button he could use and he just didn't. I've been told he genuinely wasn't aware. If you keep in mind what I mentioned just a little while ago about some drivers are kind of nervously smacking the push to pass button when it's inactive, in the odd chance it might work, I don't believe Will is one of those guys. So if he's not prone to doing that, I would say that his lack of use would suggest it wasn't something he was aware of he could do. Why don't we go to Garen Porter? How you doing, Garen? Look forward to seeing you again here in a couple months. Says MP, wow, does this compare to the Meyer-Shank Racing IMSA scandal from last year? I mean, there's obvious parallels of clearly there's a electronics union junction point in the car that could be manipulated. There was a way to manipulate information between those things, but a little bit, but not a crazy, crazy amount. Just because we have multiple cars that we know were able to use this. There's also, there is a little bit of the fuzziness though. When this happened with Meyer-Shank Racing, their tire pressure data was manipulated coming off the car. They were running lower pressures than they were allowed. It was coldish at the Rolex 24. Running at those lower tire pressures would indeed provide more grip. It was an advantage. There's no way to say that it wasn't, but the information was modified coming off the car going to IMSA while they were running pressures below the legal threshold. The numbers were modified, adjusted upwards, so when they came off the car and went through telemetry and IMSA saw them, everything looked fine. This to me is just a little bit different because the first example is where you are crafting a plan to deceive the series, and so what they're looking at with their eyes is false. This wasn't that smart. This wasn't that crafty. This was, if you were looking at it, if you're looking at the data coming off the car, whether it is the chassis data, the ECU data, whether it's on the team side, the engine supplier side with Chevy, like, this could have been seen by IndyCar, by the team, by engine supplier. Did none of them see this on the team or engine side? I mean, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. IndyCar just missed it. Just straight up missed it. Wasn't looking. I mean, here's the thing. This is not making an excuse. Just giving you a little bit of understanding. They're lean. They are lean as an organization on the operations side. Since the series was bought 3-4 however many years ago, they are trimming budgets everywhere. And so what they don't have is a big old competition department. And I don't mean at the races, right? There's lots of folks that come in and help and support during the event and a lot of ways. But the actual, hey, and we just got home last night from the race and here's all the data and here's everything to look through. It's like count on one hand big. So is this an area where I'd hope IndyCar's owner might invest a little more money to make sure that current and future owners and whatever might not do such things? Yeah, I would hope so. But I struggle to see how, as a former IndyCar engineer, data engineer for many years, I struggle to see how across multiple cars, across multiple uses, across now multiple events, nobody saw the rises in RPM, the rise in boost that come with triggering push to pass before it was activated, before it was legal to use. As a guy who made a living and then retired from looking at these things and using this information firsthand, plugging into the cars, uploading, downloading, you name it. Just saying, this strikes me as how many cars, how many people, how many opportunities. Look across the engine techs looking at this. If you're telling me that across whatever it is, a dozen opportunities across all the various people, across both cars, yeah, all three cars, if you're telling me that everybody just magically missed this, it struggles to meet the minimum standard for truthiness. We're gonna start to ramp things down here. Garen, you got a couple more things. Are you satisfied with the penalty? Do you think it should have been heavier? I would have loved to have seen something like a one race ban, two race ban for, I don't know if I'd say the entire team, but here's where things didn't work for me. Series is owned by Roger Penske. The team is owned by Roger Penske. Two of the three cars owned by Penske were found to be illegal. They were cheating, whether it was intentional, not intentional, you name it. Folks were hitting buttons, whether it was the one time that was totally unintentional, etc., or multiple times. It's what I've heard with the main driver who won the race. Again, this is something where you go, this wasn't like, oops, you said you can't drive over in this part of the track, and I put my tire 3 inches over the line, and, oh, man, boy, the car just got away from me a little bit, and I know I shouldn't have driven over there, but please don't penalize me. This is intentional doing of things that you know you should not do. And when you have the line, the provenance of who we're talking about, this is where, to me, a bigger message needs to be sent to protect the integrity of the series reputation. So if this were to be a Dale Coyne Racing where it happened, I'd feel terrible for them. We could at least look and go, it's a smaller team, tons of new people, super limited resources. If you tell me that someone just made a mistake because they were young, new, or otherwise, I'd probably go with you, right? Again, this is not critical of Dale Coyne. I'm just saying it's a small team trying to punch way above its weight. If this were to be a thing that happened, I'd go, man, it sucks. And IndyCar does have to penalize them. But I don't think there'd be any bigger message that needed to be sent, Garen. When it's the guy who owns the series, Mr. Impeccable, Penske Perfect, the Penske Way, and all these things. When Tim Cindric, Team Penske president, is the one quoted, and the only one quoted regarding this penalty, I was vastly disappointed Roger Penske wasn't the one who spoke. Is he the guy who did this and knew? And I'm sure he knew nothing about it. Again, casting no aspersions on Roger. I don't have a lot of positive things to say, as you know, if you listen to the show, but I'm just saying here, I'm not looking at Roger as someone who knew about all this and signed off on it. I've had plenty of folks tell me today, he knows everything. Nothing happens with him signing off. I know that to be true in many areas. I just don't see it happening here. But regardless, the takeaway from this is the guy who owns everything gamed the system to get an advantage and won a race because of it. Whether that is 1,000% accurate or inaccurate, that is the public perception. That is the thing being received by team owners. And I have spoken to many today. Some, again, who I called, some who called me. I asked one of them, this is early-ish in the day, have you heard from any of your sponsors? He said, no, fortunately I haven't. Said, I have heard from them and been beaten up like mad because of the crappy TV rating coming out of Long Beach. Said, I've been just murdered because of that 309,000 people who watched, but I haven't heard from any sponsors yet today about the what series are we in? What is going on? And we obviously hope that does not happen with any team. But these are the kinds of things, Garen, just to close on this, these are the kinds of things that I really wish had been addressed. And it's super embarrassing. Roger, if there's a failure, if there's a whatever, you almost never see him. There's all right. Someone else is the person apologizing or acknowledging. Like, this would have been a really great time knowing that there have been big questions posed as to the integrity of the series. Since this is the guy who owns the series, where this happened, just saying, you asked, does Cindric have to go? No. Cindric doesn't have to go. If he were to go, that team would be a shadow of itself. He is phenomenal at what he does. Truly. This is a big... If this had been Chip Ganassi Racing, would you say, Mike Hull, you got to go? No. Good Lord. Or Barry Wanzer or whomever else. These people are the hearts or the culture setters or the expectations. These are the folks who create the culture where excellence happens. I realize he's the number one person to point to. Usually in those cases, that's the person to get the boot. For Team Penske's future, I would hope they would not do that because they would not be better for getting rid of him. What I would have loved to have seen was Roger to step up and go, it happened. And explain how it will never happen again and own it. That, I think, would have said a hell of a lot more than having Tim publish a slightly iffy statement, at least in one area, instead of him. Let's see. What do we have here? We don't have a lot of time left. I'll just share a couple of... Yeah, Ferlin Getty, you're asking, did Penske know? I don't believe he did. Brian Dyer, you say, Marshall, I don't have a question, just a comment. I'm so very disappointed. I'm with you. None of this stuff makes me happy. Like, I don't... We just had a great announcement with Prema coming in, and things are, like, super awesome. And then we have the terrible rating at Long Beach, and compound that 2 days later with this debacle. None of this makes me happy. None of what I've heard from anybody today has made them act. Take that back. No, that's wrong. I actually had one person who loved it, who was joyful over this. And I don't know why, because I don't see that. I love this series. You love this series. Yeah, there's some scandal here and drama and some folks who are all about that clickbait and going after and getting spicy quotes from people. Like, great, cool. That's their value system. I'm judging them. It's just, that's not what I'm here for. I'm a racer. I love this series. I've been involved in it for a super long time. I want it to succeed. When, without running through the full roster of the video game, the failure to launch the new engine, the failure to meet any of the timelines with hybridization, the failure to launch charters the first to have, I mean, there are many things I can point to where we go, man, this has not been anything like we thought it was going to be under the new ownership. But, right, I don't want any of that. I want us to be talking about, hey, this thing is kicking ass and taking names. IMSA, huge on the rise, kicking ass, taking names. NASCAR, which I don't really follow, but I, you know, all I want is for motor racing to be thriving. And it's stuff like this where you go, how many times can you shoot yourselves in the foot to the point to where you have no feet left? It makes me really sad. Matthew Featherman, you say, curious that Chip Ganassi seemed to be very accusatory in his quote on what I read. Any insight? Haven't seen it, haven't looked. I've really just been focused on what I've been writing and trying to explain what happened, or the ways that this could have happened, I should say, and other facts. So I don't know, but I can tell you, while I haven't spoken to Chip, I have spoken, again, I feel I apologize for repeating myself, a number of other team owners, and none of them had kind things to say or defended the team or its owner in any way. If there's a thing that I learned today, or I'd reinforce, I don't know, maybe I just didn't acknowledge that it was there or realize it. Maybe I've just been oblivious, but, within the paddock, there are not a lot of fans, for this team. And, like I said, had this been a coin, a Hunkos or something else, I think a lot of the response that would have gotten from folks would be very different. Oh man, yeah, it sucks. Hey, you should do better. I'll leave that there. Lance Snyder asking, should Rogers sell the series in light of this? I had someone else ask that. I actually had two people ask that. One team owner and someone else I can't mention. I've been hoping that the series would be sold for a while now. Jeff Zerneski asking if Cindric and other car chiefs and others should serve a voluntary one race suspension. I think, yeah, you know, and again, it's not, I'm not a big penalty guy, as I say all the time, but like what went out seemingly soon after the penalty stuff was the media stuff that folks like me and others receive about this weekend's children's such and such of Alabama race. And hey, here's the Friday schedule and Saturday, and these drivers will be in the media scrum and this here and that there, and got, and like business as usual, super extra, all kinds of awesome. And it just struck me as like, oh boy. Of course they want to turn the page, which is awesome. But I think something big and demonstrative should have been done beyond Roger being the first and main voice to stand in front and receive those slings and arrows. I do totally agree that yes, something more than just disqualification for what they did a month and a half ago and a mild monetary fine. It's great that they were penalized because that's what should happen. But I feel like because of who this is, this should indeed be something that barks a lot louder to help folks understand, aha, yes. Don't anyone ever try this, because look at how big the sanctions were against this team. All right, I got almost no voice left. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate Jerry for putting the questions together. If you do indeed want to join the Prue Day listener group, it's an amazing, amazing gathering of folks who I feel confident in saying represent every type of person in life. Please take a look at the description here for the show. They have great fun daily conversations among each other on Discord, and also many of them meet up at the races and are race buddies and go and enjoy IndyCar events, IMSA events as well, and they hang together and have a blast. So we'll speak to you soon. And I've got like three or four other stories to write, some of them even vaguely interesting, but I'll get those done as soon as I can. And for those of y'all who are headed to Barber, I look forward to seeing you Saturday morning after I have a lot of fun on Friday at Road Atlanta at the Mitty.